Hello and welcome to the Retail Week, our look at the biggest story in the sector over the last 7 days. I'm Grace Bowden, reporter for Retail Week, and I'm joined by Gemma Goldfingal, our features editor, and George McDonald, our executive editor. So, it's all change in retail property this week. IKEA is going onto the high street and Hammerson is pulling out of retail parks altogether. What's motivating these strategies? What does it say about today's shoppers? And more importantly, will they pay off? George, what are your thoughts?
I think it's really interesting because obviously we've talked a lot about the death of the high street. So for IKEA to be heading for city centres, you know, as a priority, and I think it's doing it globally, not just in the UK, on the surface of things is a bit of a reversal of that trend. I think it's good news. It fits in with you know, the increasing need to provide convenience. But I guess the reverse way of looking at it too is, you know, you're talking about very particular types of high street. They're not just going willy-nilly out into town centres. You know, this first store will be on Tottenham Court Road, which obviously has real destination status. But that said, you know, they're coming up with a new format, you know, using all sorts of complementary digital technology. It'll be a smaller store. So even although it's for very particular types of location, if they get it right, you could see it inspiring new types of store that would work on other types of high street. The retail parks thing is interesting, and it fits in a bit with IKEA. Both IKEA and Hammerson talked about how important urbanisation is becoming in terms of what property now matters. And again, that's something internationally going on.
Speaking of somebody who's just moved house and called an Uber to the IKEA parking lot to pack my bookcase and my table that I bought in, I can totally see why this would work, just speaking personally as a shopper. And I don't think I'm alone with that.
Not at all. So I think in particular being a younger person as well, that I think there's an interesting stat I read from, who was it? The Commission of Travel Demand. So in the 1990s, 80% of people were driving by the time they were 30. Now it's only 45%.
That's a big drop.
Yeah. And obviously, like, I think increasingly we're living in cities for a start. But, you know, secondly, the things like kind of better transport links, Uber, of course, means some people are just opting out of driving and owning a car. So things like retail parks, you can see why they're going to become less of an accessible place for people to get to.
And also people preferring not to need to drive. I mean, there was Hammerson made an interesting point too. So they're now focusing on particular types of location, you know, shopping centres, sort of premium locations in towns and cities. But they talked about the opportunity to redevelop car parks roundabout to create what they call city quarters. So you see how changes that seem to be going on in how people travel are being sort of played out in different types of retail locations.
And how poorly have retail parks been faring? I mean, I know I personally, as a shopper, don't go to them, but I feel like I maybe had what, in retrospect, maybe was a bit of a misconception that they were one of the more resilient parts of shopping. Is that inaccurate?
No, it wasn't a misconception. So in the latest Spring Board figures, I think footfall was down 0.4%. In retail parks, but that was on very tough comparatives. Comparatively, the slump in footfall in shopping centres was 3.4%. And I think generally for the past, you know, 5-10 years, it's been one of the most resilient places in terms of footfall. But I think kind of IKEA and Hammerson are probably acting right at the beginning of this trend. They're seeing what millennials, probably beyond millennials, Gen Z, how they're behaving.
It's quite a future-looking move.
Exactly.
But it's a really interesting stat that you just quoted there about the shopping centres, because it shows that, okay, we've got these big picture trends, but if you haven't got a good shopping centre that's really resonating with people, it's still not necessarily going to work. And I guess on the reverse side of that coin, you know, Hammerson is getting out of retail parks, but I think that number you quoted, that 0.4, I think that was similar over the first 6 months of this year, when I think Hammerson's footfall in parks was down nearly 2%. So again, within each type of location, there's probably a lot of opportunity to make a difference depending on how well you're managing it and where that location sort of fits in with your retail strategy.
Yeah.
Feels like quite a bold pivot for both of them. And even though actually they're different actions, they feel like they're motivated by the same sort of customer behaviours, even though they're sort of different moves, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is. I mean, you know, there's quite a lot going on within all of this. I think it is bold, and it sort of has to be. You know, Hammerson are cutting the amount of space that they will devote to department stores and to what you might call, you know, standard fashion brands. So obviously some of that space might go because those are the sorts of businesses that are going skint CVA, so they would, wouldn't they? But it also really shows the importance of managing these locations and really creating a good retail offer, which increasingly is all about experience as well as what stuff you might be able to buy there.
And it's interesting because those kind of department stores are definitely what we would have called anchor tenants. So if you're opening in a new development, you know, you'd want one of those big department stores to be there, and that's the old flag in the ground for success. But obviously that's changing now, isn't it?
I think so. You know, it's more about, or the aspiration would be to make these places, you know, somewhere that you would genuinely go out for a day.
See it as a day out rather than a pop to the shop.
Yeah, which a lot of people do aspire to, but it isn't always, you know, it doesn't always do what it says on the tin at all in that respect, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's really interesting that. And I think there is that thing as well, that polarisation. I think I read the chief exec of Hammerson said this. He said there's a polarisation with either experience or convenience. So people either want it to be as easy and quick as possible or as brilliant and inspiring as possible. And anything in the middle, which arguably retail parks as a concept are, it just isn't going to cut it.
And
I must say, for that, which obviously is a reducing portion of people, those people that do drive to work or drive in general, retail parks still offer that convenience.
100%.
You know, free parking, easy to get to.
Although, you know, convenience was very explicitly one of the reasons that IKEA gave for focusing on city centres, and you know, you were talking about at the beginning about maybe in you would have got an Uber to bring something.
I went, did a shop like here.
So you did,
yeah.
But you know, they are, you know, the most convenient retailer, I guess, of all in many ways is Amazon, and so I think people are really reappraising convenience and finding new ways of being convenient. Because, you know, those IKEA big blue boxes, you know, they really were trailblazing in their time. They revolutionised the market. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see whether they can pull that off a second time with this new breed of stores.
Well, I'll be shopping in them. So, yeah, they've got one. Lots to think about there, isn't there? Thanks so much for your thoughts, guys. I think we'll leave it there. Looking ahead to next week, summer slowdown is in effect slightly, but we do have a trading update from Next, which is always a good indication of how the sector's doing. Nice temperature check there. So come back and check in with us on that. All the stories we've discussed, you can find them on our website, including a good bit of analysis on Hammerson's strategy, kind of getting into the nitty-gritty. That just leaves me to say thank you very much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you again next week.